What up, though? This your boy DOC, and welcome to another episode of the Doc Hicks Podcast. I think we're on episode 32 right now, if I'm not mistaken. But before we jump into this episode, I gotta give a big shout out. Like I say, I'm always gonna do, you know, make sure I put this in the, I gotta always make sure I show love to the people that show love to me and those that wanna get a shout out as well. But I gotta give a big shout out to EBK Scorsese that left a 5-star rating and a good long review. I definitely appreciate it, bro. Another big shout out to El Sharpe and to Trey Boogie for both the 5-star ratings and the dope heartfelt reviews. I greatly appreciate it. I know a lot of you guys do come over here from YouTube, and then there's a lot of people that's fresh over here to the podcast, so we greatly appreciate all the support. And if you want to get your own shout out, make sure you leave a 5-star review, so actually a 5-star rating and a good review, and we'll give you a shout out on one of our upcoming episodes. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this next episode. See, and this was some funny shit that Cash Dow interview on Nick Cannon. You know, he got like 99, which he's strategic. I ain't dissing him when I say this. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got hella professionals. You seeing him everywhere. But now I'm starting to see why he was doing certain things on purpose. I was like, he been on Vlad. He was going to like hitting every platform, being on Vlad a lot. Then when I seen him get his own radio show in the morning, you know what I'm saying, on the West Coast, I'm like, oh, okay, I see what he was doing, getting his face out there. So people, you know, more and more, so when he do his shit, you know, plus he got ties to everybody in the industry. But long story short, so he ended up having Cash Dial on there. And I could say Nick's style of interview, of course, is 100% different than Vlad. He's not trying to, you know, incriminate you or no shit like that. But they got on the conversations about relationships, and he at one point in time, he brought up something like, you know, and he said it as if he was speaking for all men, saying that all men, I don't want to not say it incorrectly, but basically he was saying like men can't be faithful to a certain extent, that we basically in some type of ways, it should be like polygamy, to the point where we should have the right to be able to be with multiple women. The only thing that I can't agree with him about, and my girl always shake her head when I say this, she was like, this is one thing I'll never agree with you on. Because I always tell her, it's a difference between men cheating and women cheating.
Oh, like, yeah. I already know where you're going to go with that.
Facts. Like, I don't, it's nothing people can tell me. Like, and unfortunately, like, yes, I have cheated in past relationships before, but it was never because, like, in those particular situations, it was never because, like, oh, I love this person. Like, guys kind of look at sex different than some women. I can't say all women, because I do know some women that's like, think like men too. They just see something and they just want to knock it down and keep it moving too. But most girls move off of emotions, and he was trying to tell her. And then I just seen someone else bring it up today as well. Like, if your guy, let me ask you this. So, like, the dude said, if you in a, telling a girl, like, if you want a good relationship, the dude handling his business, he taking care of everything, blah, blah, blah. Not even like just paying all the bills. It's just, he's perfect to you. He's doing everything that he's doing. It's nothing coming back to you like, oh, he cheating. Don't go out there looking for shit. You know what I'm saying? Because you may end up finding something. As long as he's not out there doing something that's going to come back and be in your face, don't stress that nigga out. And, you know, of course, everybody, the women, like, oh, so basically you saying it's cool to cheat. Like, what you feel about that?
Oh, I agree. I agree with you. Like, shit, if... I damn near feel like on both sides. Like, if you go looking for something, man, you go find something you don't like. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, you just, that's why you just gotta trust and leave it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll appear, like, the way the world works. If it's something for you to see, it's gonna show up for you to see, man. And of course, if you see certain vibes, if somebody like doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody got their stuff that they don't like, as far as somebody staying out hella late, or, and they not in a profession where they gotta be out late. Like, if you dating a rapper, you know the nigga do shows at night, you know the after party and certain stuff going on, so why buck them? But if you with like a lawyer, you know, of course it's kind of weird if the nigga's saying I'm in the office at 3 a.m. working on a case, and you know, that's usually like a daytime type of deal. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Facts. So, like, yeah. Like, cause I didn't been in those kind of situations before where it's like, I'm typically the type of dude, and this is based off of coming from a household where, yeah, my parents had their ups and downs or whatever. They got divorced when I was like in second grade, but they end up getting back together later on and all that stuff. And not to go too much into detail, but the type of the things that how I utilized that situation as far as once I became an adult and got to dating chicks, like, I don't have the patience to like when I was younger, yeah, you know how you go out, you may get hella numbers and you talking to different people, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But that's, to me, that's different than like you actually fucking with 3, 4, 5 chicks or even two or three chicks. That's different. To me, it's different stages to it because that's hella personalities. They all want time. You know what I'm saying? They all want the physical time, time on the phone, text me, all that stuff. Like, and if you a man that got something halfway going on in your life, I don't even see how niggas even do all that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like some people really lifetime do that. Like, I get it's a fate. Well, I believe it was a phase for me, I would say. Like, I was like that, but I learned kind of quick. Like, you realize how shiesty these women is in the world we live in now. Like, you taking a chance playing like that. Like, you're just right. Set up, you'll catch something because there's just so much everybody screwing everybody with no, you know what I'm saying? No true intentions of starting a family. And once you really see what's really going on out here, you don't feed into that no more. Like, once you grow up and realize, shoot, a real woman wants your attention, and it just, you ain't got enough to spread yourself out like that. For real.
Right.
You be stressing yourself out, man.
Like, you ever been in a situation where with a woman that just wanted to almost like the first time that you ever been with them, like on some sexual shit, the first time you ever been with them, but they were damn near on, like, after it happened, they wanted to hop up and dip, not on some like, oh, the sex was bad,
damn,
but they,
I know,
just
what you mean, like a nigga type shit. Yeah. I haven't encountered that yet, bro, because, you know, I was you know, married and chilling for years, so, you know, now that I'm back out here, I haven't even went that far yet, but I can imagine that's, I'm scared of that, because I know that's out here now, the way they be talking, all this Cardi B rapping, and all these, man, I can imagine that probably happened a lot to niggas now.
Man.
How about you? You encountered that ever before, back in the day or anything?
Like, back in the day, yeah, like, and it ended up being a person that I end up being with, but it was just odd at the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Like, because like you said, that's normally some shit like a nigga do, you know what I'm saying? Like, after the fact, all right, I gotta go, I gotta dip or whatever the case. Not like I say, not even just because, oh, the sex bad. It's just a motherfucker ain't on some cuddling type shit, you know what I mean? And that's a weird space to be in as a guy, like, because it almost puts you in the female. It makes you feel like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, And you may not even be a cuddling ass nigga, you know what I'm saying? But just to be put in that position, they'd be like, damn, boy, you can't even chill for a second? Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, that was some weird ass shit, you know what I mean? But that whole situation with that particular person was like, man, that I would just honestly say that whole situation with that person was so much of a up and down, left and right, rocky road, where that chapter in my life totally changed me as a person after the fact, you know what I mean? And I'll say maybe like 6-7 months ago when I re-put out that on YouTube, the R. Kelly brother interview or whatever the case may be, I guess she ran across that interview and tried to hit me up, and I let my girl know. I told her, you know what I'm saying, I'm open and honest with my girl, because right, you know, both me and my girl on the plan, and it's like as a team effort. And right. I hear people. Like, this one girl had left a message asking about being celibate. Matter of fact, the girl we end up doing a recording with before, she had a question about, like, being abstinent and I can't think, celibate. Like, what type of advice would men give to a woman that wants to be abstinent and celibate? And Danner, everybody I brought that shit up to, like, man, you Danner living in the fantasy world if you think you just, you know, going to meet a man that just going to be in a full-time relationship with you and just never, like, unless you're going to give him that pass to, I'm talking about, and that, you know, you can't speak for all men, but it's like, okay, a week could go by, that's fine. Just say a month. Just even say a year or so. After, at some point in time of y'all being around each other, especially if he do find you physically attractive, he's going to want to have some type of sexual interaction with you. Like, what's your game plan out of even living that lifestyle? You know what I mean? Like, what are you, is it for self? Did something happen to you? Like, what are you trying to get out of it? Is it just because you want to make a nigga wait? You know what I mean?
Right, that's a lot of questions you got. And that was the smart questions you just said too. Yeah, that, unless like it's for a religion or something, or how you playing it. The only way I see that damn near working in this world we live in is if the dude already a virgin too. Like, you run into like a 40-year-old virgin type dude,
right?
Mind waiting. But if somebody already experienced that, I doubt it. Like, shoot, that temptation is kind of crazy.
It to me, that made sex, I'm not going to say it's the most important thing in a relationship, but it is very important. You know what I mean? That could cause an issue, because what if he at some point in time, he just don't believe that that's really what, I don't know. That would just be a weird situation. You know what I mean? To even be in, like, of course that give you the opportunity to be able to get to know her as a person, you know, her, how she thinks, how she moves, what she's trying to do in life. But it's like, okay, 2-3 years later, like, okay, what else the fuck do I need to get to know about you? You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Like, right, like, what are we doing?
Are we doing? Right. I need to get to know about them guts.
Yeah, like, we gonna have some fun. Like, you know, but you do got people out here like that, man. For real. You really do. You really do got people out here like that. But like I say, like, I had a homegirl that was like that. We were just cool. Like I said, she wasn't attractive to me, but she was cool in general. And then, you know, she went into detail how she was abstinent, you know, celibate, not having no, you know, not having sex. But she was a virgin, like I said, so it kind of was easy for her. But she was like 30, bro. She was like 30. And even then, I would mess with her. Like, you know, my inside duck was like, I don't believe you ain't. Nah, get up out of here. Like, you doing something. But, you know, that's just, you know, how we thinking. You know what I'm saying? In the world we live in, everybody been had sex now by the time they 13. 14, man. You know what I'm saying? So to hear somebody saying, yeah, I'm a virgin until I'm 29, 30, 40, or until I'm married, then, you know, it's kind of hard to hear that.
Nah, that's some unicorn type shit in this day and age, an alien type shit. Like, and I hate to even say that because I'm raising a daughter, you know what I mean? To be like 13, 14 years old, you done already is like, that's why, like, damn, as soon as your kid can talk back and forth to you, you know, a nigga got to be on, especially daughters. I'm not going to say it's any different with a guy, but, you know, little boy, you don't want him to catch nothing. You don't want him to end up having a kid early in life. You know what I'm saying? Any of that stuff, you know. And my thing is, it's crazy to me, even just on that subject, because I noticed a big difference between back in the day, like, when our grandparents was growing up, and even, I'm not going to say before that generation, because before that, I think that put you down their back. I'm not going to say slavery, but, you know, more back during that time. But, like, they used to have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Like, my grandparents literally had, like, 12, 13 kids, and my grandmother and grandfather stayed together. Now, I know it was hell, because ain't no relationship going to be perfect, but having that many kids and that many personalities, that shit put pressure on the parents, because kids like to play. It's naturally going to happen. Kids are play the parents against each other. The parents, if they raise different, may look at things different. Like, that's a lot of stress on them. But the divorce rates back then is not even high now. But I do notice how the world, especially in certain demographics, push more Planned Parenthood than other communities because of population control.
Yep, you hit it on the nose with that, bro.
But then you, on top of that, with inflation and everything going up, shit, it's hard, it's rough raising one kid or two kids unless you full-time in a career and got it going. And don't say that you, if you in a career, but you took the college route, but you got $50, $60, $100,000 worth of debt from school, you know what I mean? That'd be the thing, like, some people don't be really looking at, like, okay, a person go, and I'm not knocking going to college because I went to school, but, like, you go to school depending on what your major is and all that stuff and how long it took you to get to that point. Then you get out, you say, for instance, you're making $100,000 or $200,000, but if you owe Sallie Mae $60,000-$70,000 on top of your rent or mortgage, car note, insurance, food, that, you know what I'm saying, daily expenses, you could be making $200,000 and still literally still just be as broke as someone that didn't even go down that route.
Right. You that's a fact, man. That's a fact. That's why now, you know, nowadays in our generation and the way the world changed, it's not really about your passion. It's about business, you know, more so survival at this point, because you can be, you know, you have a passion for cooking and want to be a chef, but you know, how $20,000-$30,000 gonna, you know, provide for your family for real, unless you just plan on being single the whole time. Because once you start adding up them bills and shoot, what they say, the average right now, the average spending you're gonna spend for a child up until they 18 is like what, $700,000, $800,000? So, you know, people not making that damn near in a lifetime, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
Yeah, you definitely gotta think business wise now instead of like your passion. Like, you gotta really go after the bag. And then maybe if you can, you know, be successful on that, maybe do your passion on the side, you know?
Right.
Sad to say, but that's how the game set up now. Yeah.
Facts, like, for real. And going back to the original thing, like with Cash Doll and Nick Cannon. See, my thing with people in relationships and stuff like that, and I'm not, cause like me and my girl, everything been good since, you're not saying good to the point like we don't have disputes, like nobody's relationship is perfect, but I think like since the world is set up, yes, of course you want to be with someone that you love and all that stuff, but I think the team component, understanding that everything, we live in a country that's basically ran like a company. You got to damn near get together. Unfortunately, like, yes, the love and all that stuff got to be there, but y'all have to make business decisions together. Like, yeah. Even though, like, I've never been married, so I don't know if it's like, I've heard, like, when you get married that it combines y'all credit scores together, all type of stuff, you know what I mean? So if a person get with one person and maybe they got good credit and the other person got bad credit, you know what I mean? That can affect things, you know, I don't know, like, It's crazy because United States, I can't speak for other countries, getting together with a woman and wanting to take it to that next level, it makes everything outside of love be more important than actual the love between you and that person. It's like everything is pulling the two away from each other.
You hit that perfect, bro. That's exactly what it is, man. Because, you know, you be young, you know, some people fall in love while they're young and all that stuff. And then once they, you know, this person had the plan to go to school, this person, you know, took the 9-to-5 route to help while they go to school or whatever. And then, you know, reality set in, you know, when I say reality, like, you have to try to find a balance in such an unbalanced society to where you have to do that inside your home. We're not taught that no more. You know what I'm saying? Or
right.
I shouldn't even say no more. I don't know. Just as far as having that balance of being able to take care of your business, but make your home a peace of mind. Not when you come home, y'all arguing about what's going on. Some things you can't control. You know what I'm saying? So if you put in a situation where you got to know how to deal your cards that you was dealt. And that's the main thing to be breaking people up. You know, it's too many fingers getting pointed. And when you're in a relationship, especially a marriage, that person's, each other's weaknesses is supposed to become each other's strengths, if you get what I'm saying. Like, since you might be weak at the economic stage, or, you know, far as balancing the money, I handle the money. Or you might be, far as this, you might be more intelligent book-wise, or, you know what I'm saying, far as,
right.
I'm just going to say something, filling out applications, then okay, you do the applications and show me how to do it instead of beefing and tearing each other down.
Right.
That's, you know, that's what we're doing. Then using the internet, too, like, it's so much negativity on the internet, it's not used as a tool as it should be. It's really raising people, raising adults. I'm starting to see that now. Like, the internet is changing people off all these memes, getting raised off memes, and just, people so lost out here, man. It's sad.
It's sad. Like, for real. Like, it's motherfuckers, at the beginning stages of the internet, it was a little bit of a difference between the internet and real life, where motherfuckers like, oh man, that's just the internet. Man, now the internet is damn near life. You know what I'm saying? Like you just said, like, motherfuckers is straight living their real life like they're on, like they life is Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is, it don't be real. Like, it just don't be real, you know, and it fuck a lot of motherfuckers up. And like, even just like on that relationship shit, like I was seeing a conversation. This is something I always advocate against. you know, recently, I'd say maybe the last week or so, like Young Thug and YFN Lucci been going at it. Now, I did see an interview a while back. I don't think he put nobody's name on it or not, so I don't want to say if it's 100% true. Someone from Atlanta listening to this may know, but I remember he did an interview when he showed like his old mama house and talking about that house had got shot up. And now like Young Thug and him been beefing now, and he did an interview and said he felt like the beef stems from Young Thug's girl. And he alluded to being in the bed with her a couple times, and she been, you know, going back at him saying you ain't never fucked this and that. So who knows, you know what I'm saying? Cause, and I just had a nigga that, well, that's another story, cause I don't not saying Lucci doing it, but it's just another nigga recently just was lying on his dick, and I don't get it.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
That's horrible. Yeah,
yeah, like I don't get that, you know what I mean? Like, it ain't even that important. That's some young nigga shit to be out here lying on your dick about, you know, females that you fucked and whatever the case may be. But that's just something I advocate against. I hate when I see dudes beefing with each other over a bra,
over a female. But you know, you can take this, you can dissect this so crazy. That's what most of the street beef's about. It don't be over money. It can be over a hood rat, stripper, man, or this and that. You know what I'm saying? Like, the women since the beginning of time been the downfall of the man. You know what I'm saying? You can research that and all type of the Bible, whatever you want to go with. So I'm not surprised by that. I'm just shocked Young Thug actually arguing about a girl, but I think it's for the press. Like, I don't even think he care about an old girl, because you know how Young Thug is out here. Everybody know he suspect. So that was right. Weird me seeing him arguing over a chick, but I think he did just drop an album though. So I guess that's what it was for, maybe to push the album or something like that.
See, because what I hear is like him and dude really see, and that was the thing that I heard today was like, quote unquote, wild bags, whatever, something that happened at YFN Lucci house, that house he talking about got right. Shot up, supposed it right. Came from, you know, whatever. So
right.
My whole right. So my thing is, if that's the case, then okay, then they got some real shit going on behind the scenes. Now I'm the same way too, to even I advocate. I'm like, okay, because at first when I seen Young Thug even bring, just pop old girl on a picture, I'm like, oh, this a publicity stunt, because this nigga just been getting hit so hard being called gay. But mm-hmm. And I just seen him do an interview the other day talking about he had to stop wearing fingernail paint because of his kids, you know, because of his son. Actually, he was like, I think he said like he came home and his son was trying to put on fingernail polish or whatever. And basically when they asked him why, you know, he was like, well, my dad do it. So he was like, from that point on, I stopped wearing fingernail paint. But he was like, you know, that was me being a rock star. So, you know, nowadays, everybody, like, I'm not a rapper. I'm an artist. I'm an entertainer. I'm a rock star, this and that. Like, bro, you know the shit that you was doing was causing you to ride that line of looking like you on some homosexual shit.
Right. Come on, rock star, get up out of here. Your music not even rock music. So just stop that, man. I don't like that trash. I don't know. I don't really know what to say besides that, but it's like, okay, it took you to realize that your son wearing, you know, all this stuff, to realize that your kids look up to you, man. Like, I can't stand when parents say that whole do as I say, not as I do. Like, no, that they see what you're doing and they most likely gonna mimic that. You know, there's rare cases where that don't happen, but yeah, that's crazy. Hopefully it do change them and switch it up, but the only sucky part now, just like we mentioned about the internet, we in the internet age. Your kids gonna always be able to look that up, or people gonna always be able to use what you did, you know, to put in front of your kids. So hopefully, you know, your actions and stuff can turn around and, you know, they stand on what you're saying, but that's gonna be a crutch to them, you know, because they can just show, hey, your daddy a faggot, look.
Right.
Look at this. This your daddy, ain't it? Boom. Mm-hmm.
So they gonna catch the repercussions of that shit. And my thing is, okay, you stopped because your son was doing it, but what about all the motherfucking other kids that you didn't influence to do this shit? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you wasn't thinking about that. You didn't give a fuck if you was having all these little boys and all this shit and other, because it was some dude that came up out of Florida, the dude that was wearing a wedding dress with the AK.
The dude that put the gun in his mouth.
Yeah. And he was saying, like, you know, even though he tried to beef with the fake little internet shit, but, you know, you could tell he was a direct clone of being influenced. So it's like, bro, if you can influence a grown-ass man to go put on a wedding dress and be sucking on the tip of an AK on that type of shit, what you think you're doing to these little kids? So you didn't give a fuck until it affected your own household. You know, but I can't, not giving him no pass, but he is the same motherfucker when he was on the red carpet and they asked him something about politics or some shit. He basically said, I don't give a fuck because I'm iced up, this and that. So, you know, you can't expect too much from a motherfucker like that. But it's just unfortunate when someone got that big of an influence on, you know, in the rap game. And, you know, it ain't as big as others because he do got his own little cult following. I don't see in my life the people that he resonates to, but for him to be around and doing all the things he's doing and, you know, obtaining the material success that he getting, he has to have a fan base out here or someone's monetarily supporting what he got going on. But I'm like, people got to think about that shit. Like, you not only, you could try to hide that shit from your kids and your household, but then it's okay for you to fuck around and fuck our kids up. But that, but then I can't put it all on them, because then the parents got to be there too for their own kids. You know what I mean? To not let these weirdos and all this other shit influence our kids. So it's a very fine line. You know, it's a very fine line of crazy shit that be going on. Like, I don't want to say the guy's particular name, but like I ran across this video after the situation happened with T Grizzly, and you know, I didn't watch all of it, so only can go by like the 5 minutes that I did watch and just go by the context of that. And the person was just, you know, going hard on him, but basically saying like, nigga, you know, you a rapper, you know, you already a target, and you trying to play the tough role like you too tough. I'm about to let these niggas run me out my hood, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And that's why this type of shit happens to you, whatever, whatever. And this is my whole thing about, I think a part of the reason why on YouTube that I even got involved in this shit. Because my thing is, I don't think it's right if a person themselves a blogger, vlogger, a journalist, or whatever the case may be. Every story, I don't think everybody should do. You know what I'm saying? I think certain stories you should only cover if you really got some genuine shit that you can add to the situation to make it better. And not saying what the direction he was going in was wrong, but like if you don't have no connection to that type of life, your outside opinion towards something, like how can you really have an opinion on something if you don't know the facts? Because you basically saying this situation happened to T Grizzly because he's a rapper, and 9 times out of 10 this don't have shit to do with him being a rapper.
Right, that's usually when stuff happen like this at home, you know, any other rapper state is usually about some real, you know, it could be some of some jealousy stuff. It could be something that, you know, the rapper did themselves. They just got the title of being a rapper, but they still real people, and they did have a hood that they came from before they got on. You know what I'm saying? So who knows the enemies, the situation, what's really going on. And like you said, you know, me being a, you know, I haven't did any videos in a while, but I know the mentality and the power and what you speaking, you know, as being a vlogger, you want to put positive energy out there, especially on situations like this, and stop thinking about the money. Like, a lot of these people, all they doing is chasing the money with these videos. Like, they'll put something out, cover a story real quick, let me cover it up, without even caring about, you know, the situation about a rapper dying or whatever. They just want to just get a bag off of it real quick. Let me hurry up and put it up there, not even knowing the facts, not even right. Knowing if the person really died. Like, yeah, sometimes you got to sit back and see what's going on, and like you said, if you really don't have nothing positive to say or know the real details, stop speaking on it like that. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
it can be the same way, vice versa. You got to think about if you was in that situation. So, as far as that T Grizzly stuff, man, my condolences to this aunt. I don't know the ins and outs. I just know, you know, we from Detroit, we know how it is out here, man. It's dangerous. You got to really stay safe as much as you can. And, you know, just my prayers to the family.
Exactly. And, you know, it was a motherfucker in the comments, and I'm going to ask you, like, we didn't know each other for a minute, so you know, a motherfucker ended up leaving a comment because at some point in the video that I made, I said, I can't remember verbatim what I said, but I said I was like, man, you know, but that ain't for me to put that out there or whatever. So someone left a timestamp and was like, what do you mean that ain't for you to put that out there? Like, you talk about other people's business from other regions, but when it come to your own backyard, you don't want to say nothing. I'm like, one, in that part when I said that shit, I was about to say something that wasn't fact-based, going off of like some people that gave me some information. So that's not fact-based. So it's not for me to put that out there. Two, I have never made a video of if a person got shot. And say, for instance, even if I do know who camped or who did it, I've just sat up there and said, oh yeah, John John got shot by Ray Ray down the street. You know what I'm saying? Or some shit. I've never incriminated nobody. You know what I'm saying? But I think people expect it because, oh, this happened in Doc quote unquote backyard. He probably know more than he's saying. So he probably gonna put like, no, I've never made. I touch on the shit that's publicly known. Say for instance, like with Mozzie shit, that paperwork stuff still was public records. It's just no one had brought it to the surface yet. So that could be breaking like new information, but that's not like I'm bringing something to the surface that was not obtainable or already out there. You know what I'm saying? Like motherfuckers out there in Sacramento, it was floating around there. It came directly from dude backyard, from people from out there that already knew what was going on. But I've never made a video like, because I look back regardless if I feel like dude Vlad does it on purpose or not. I have my own opinions about that. I still can understand, like, the longer and longer that I, you know, do this shit, I'm not gonna say I gain more respect for some platforms that I used to kind of look at with the side eye, you know what I mean? And but I can also put myself, because I'm still a viewer at the end of the day too, you know what I'm saying, besides doing this. So I can put myself in the seat of being 100% a viewer, because they don't see things the same exact way as a content creator see things. They just don't. You know what I mean? Yeah. And especially now being in a podcasting world, like they have columns, they have categories that strictly true crime, true crime stories, this and that, where all it's talking about is just murders, this and that, this and that. So I don't know if like Vlad was hip to that, or just know that there is a, and keep in mind, true crime in the podcast world is the number one search shit. You know what I mean? So I don't know if he's hip to that or not. Yeah, he said, you know, he didn't look up to, not in a disrespectful way, like as far as the Sways and different interviewers in hip hop. He said, you know, he wanted to do more of the Dateline CBS type of interviews, you know, which is more, it is a little bit more hardcore-ish type shit, you know what I mean? And it just unfortunate, I ain't gonna say unfortunate, just hip hop has so much of a direct connection to the streets when you talking about shit. Yeah, it could, a person could be riding a very thin line, but you also have to put that responsibility on that rapper too, not to be going up there all drugged the fuck out and saying some shit that's gonna get them fucked up at the end of the day. But going back to Vlad, I don't know if it's if he just knows, because he's not a dumb ass person.
Uh-uh. He a businessman. He looking at it for the dollar. He don't care about, it's certain people you could tell he click quick, like he had stopped them quick, like Boosie. Oh, don't say that, Boosie. I don't want you to incriminate. You got an open case. He don't care if anybody else got them open cases, especially the new rappers. He like, hey, nigga, tell me everything. He not finna cut the interview just because, you know, you incriminating yourself. Because he would have obviously did that with Rallo. That's why, not to say that's why Rallo locked up, but that's when Rallo was getting popular and doing all that. Yes, Rallo was doing it to himself, but at the same time, you know, it's just, we come from a different environment. You know what I'm saying? Vlad not from the hood, not from the streets. He don't really have no code that he moved by as far as that. Like I say, he has a business code. We grew up in the hood and we can understand, like, damn, it wasn't cool to be known for give me all your information and put all this stuff on the internet. Like, you do interviews now with street dudes that's been, you know, involved in stuff and all that. And like I said, we talk behind the scenes. You want this out here, or I'm gonna cut this off the interview just so it don't go out there, because I don't want you to be, I don't want you don't want your audio to be used in court. Like, come on, right for that. So exactly. That's the way with Vlad move. Vlad look at it straight for business. And let's be 100 with this too. Like I said, I'm not racist, I'm not none of that. But we know the world that we live in. Vlad is a different skin tone. So the black community don't hold him to that stature of saying, oh, he a rat, he ain't gonna do that. You see, they run to him. You know what I'm saying? They run to him for interviews. They not doing that with certain other people that I feel should get that, but that's not no hate. You know, it's always slower for, we know how that go, Doc. So,
right.
And yeah, another thing I was gonna say, I'm gonna lose my train of thought. Damn, I lost my train of thought. What was I gonna say? Damn, go ahead. I lost my train of thought. So come back, I'll speak on it. But yeah.
So, but my thing, I wonder, say for instance, in the hip hop community, okay, the hip hop has grown like a motherfucker. You know, it started off in the Bronx. It was just say predominantly or a full black thing. Now in 2019, it has broken all barriers. It's all over the world, all different type of shades, this and that. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, say for instance, for a powerful entity, not just targeting Vlad, but like a Vlad or any media outlet or anything. My thing is, I kind of feel like if you're going to be within a culture, then you should abide by the general codes of that culture. You can't come in and make up your own rules, because that's going to cause a disturbance within that culture. So if we are like using Vlad, for example, okay, yes, he's from Russia. He's not from the streets, this and that. So he's not born and raised, but he's been doing this long enough where he sits up there talking to Trey D and all these motherfuckers all the time. So he's aware and know what these codes are. So my thing is, should a person, I feel like it should almost be to the point where if you're going to be a part of this culture, you got to play by the rules of this culture. You can't just come in and do whatever, because you're going to end up start getting motherfuckers fucked up. The only thing that I just say, because at the end of the day, he gets some of the biggest interviews. Like you say, motherfuckers gonna run to Vlad. He do got over 3 million subscribers. He been putting in hella work. The shit didn't just come to him overnight. He had to put in hella work and shit, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, to get to where he at. So I respect his grind and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I would just ever say about Vlad is, when I seen him and Adam 22 do an interview, and he said to him, and I think he have said it on his platform as well, that, you know, I have off-duty police officers that's my bodyguards. So when I see people all in the comments saying, you know, oh, Vlad, he hands his interviews over to the police officers and all that, and he denies it. Say, for instance, if he don't do all that, if he don't hand this, you know, Say for instance, he planned it clean. He just does his interviews and put them up. But I'm pretty sure, say for instance, if I'm a police officer, but on my time off, I'm a bodyguard, and I have a person that reaches out to me for bodyguard work, I'm pretty sure that bodyguard does some type of homework of the person that they're going out to protect. You need to know what type of person that they are and what they do, so you know how to protect them. So my thing is, okay, so if that off-duty officer, and if he does that and then goes and check what Vlad does and goes watch his videos, then you see people up there incriminating themselves. What do you think that police officer may do once he goes back on the clock?
Right, exactly. Yeah, they know
that. No, and to me, that just only, like, that's just, it's playing it way too close, because either that officer could be tipping off other officers from other states and other areas and this and that, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's playing it too close. That's the only thing I'm like, you know, you may not be purposely doing anything. I'm not saying he got anything to do with motherfuckers getting arrested, but just playing it that close, I'm pretty sure that police officer he watches your videos, period. There's no way that police officer that bodyguards you or whatever, he does not watch your content. And by the training and everything else, if he sees something illegal or hears something, this and that, you think he's just keeping that to himself? He's not going to say anything? He's not going to talk to nobody about it?
Yeah, no. Man, you know, the feds is on. Ain't even got to be flat bodyguards or police. It's the percentage is high of them making their arrests, the feds and the police, anything, making their arrests online. Like, that's why you don't see as many cops patrolling out, like, everything they want on the internet. And as far as with the Vlad stuff, like, yeah, Vlad put in a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? It's no shade his way. He's taking care of his business, and he is with it. You know, he's in the position that he's at from grinding and from the people. You know what I'm saying? The people who don't go to Vlad for interviews, he wouldn't be as popular. So it's more so the people, man, and especially in our community and hip-hop in general. We know what Vlad do, but why do people keep running to him? It's for the clout. They don't care if they get locked up or certain stuff like that. They running over there for the clout.
Right. And, like, why is it not at least one black person face in the position of a Vlad?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Or Adam 22. They got three, almost 4 million. I'm not talking about the Breakfast Clubs of the world. Them are machines. That's iHeart. Them are corporations and stuff. I'm saying the Vlad TV, Adam 22, DJ Smalls. These are basically independent individuals that went into media. My thing is, why is there not at least one black person in that position? You know what I mean?
Yep, it's the people. They not choosing to go. They feel like, you know, black is going to get exposed more. He got the bigger machine. But a lot of these interviews, that's what people don't be knowing. They are the plug. Like, you got the source. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's say Troy Ave ran to do an interview after the situation, you know, that happened at the situation at that club in New York. He could have ran to anybody to do that interview, the first one to do it, and it would have been popular. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to. Even though he didn't do an interview with Vlad, and then he didn't have to run to Vlad to do that. He can go anywhere he want, and it's gonna blow up.
So exactly.
That's the power. That's the people don't realize the power they had. They think just because, oh, I got no followers, I'm nobody, but my stuff on the news, or this is going viral, I got to run to Vlad to continue to push it. No, it was gonna do the numbers anyway. Even if you made your own YouTube and put it up, it was gonna do the numbers. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Maybe not as much as Vlad, but it had been close. So it's like, it's the people, man. Then, you know, like I say, it's just crazy to see that they down talk them all day, but it's the same people that run to them over and over.
And that's why, like, over time, that's why my position, and I never had hate for Vlad, you know what I'm saying? It was a little bit awkward, of course, and it's crazy that you know, with the Troy Ave and tax situation or whatever in them videos that I was making back then, like, I'm not gonna say I was fresh into doing the vlogging, but certain things just didn't make sense to me from day one. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a fool. I didn't experience life, been through certain situations. So certain things just didn't make no sense to me. And I'm just the type of person, regardless if it was Troy Ave or not Troy Ave, I could deliberately see that there was a media campaign out to just try to destroy Troy Ave. And a lot of the information was not based on facts. And with my channel, I try to make it based on facts, the shit that I put out. You know what I mean? It's like, that was the closest I feel like, well, you know, Vlad came and left a comment in one of the videos in the comment section. But someone has said, oh, I stopped watching Vlad because he was putting up, you know, too much porno chicks or whatever. And he left a comment like, I stopped interviewing them years ago. But I did notice in my analytics after that video, because before then, Vlad used to post a lot of my, not a lot, you know, here and there, enough for me to start recognizing it. He would post it on his website. But after that Troy Ave video where I was talking about how Tax Stone had made a comment that he also said on his podcast, but he also said it on Vlad's shit, you know, and it would end up being something that was in his paperwork. Like, from that day, like, he stopped posting my stuff. My thing is, I'm not accusing you of Tax being in jail and saying you have anything. These are just the facts. This is something that he said on his podcast, on your thing, and this was something that they quoted in his paperwork. And it was just the bigger picture of the whole video was, people got to stop. And that's been something we've been advocating for a minute. You know, stop going on these platforms, because even like you just said, even on my shit, and you know, because we talk behind the scenes, like, you know, for a fact that it'd be shit that I clip out of my interviews, or will ask a person like, hey, do you want to leave this in here or not? Because this could be incriminating or whatever the case may be. Like, you know that for a fact, like. Because it could be easy for me to just leave that shit in there, and then, that's going to be my headline, and boom, this about to be a million views or whatever the case may be. It's not about that with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could have been had certain stuff blow up way more crazy than it already did for you if you was like that. You're not chasing the clout. You want it to be genuine. You know what I'm saying? You want to keep the, you know, the keyword integrity and just being 100, you know, as much as you can. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's not you at all.
Yeah, and that goes to like what you seen. I don't know if you end up watching the whole thing, but like what Royce the 5'9 was just saying to Lord Jamar, like, I've been noticing over time, not saying Lord Jamar has changed, but from the individual that I started seeing Lord Jamar, the character, or who, even being himself, when I say character, not in a negative connotation when I say character, but when he first was on Vlad to where he's at now. Not saying he wasn't saying controversial things then, but I think once he started feeling that that sun, that light being a little bit more on him when he do go up there and say controversial shit, that traffic that probably comes to his IG, that traffic that comes to him and him starting the podcast, I think that has made him say more controversial things than he used to say. You know what I mean? And right. I just wonder why Royce is the only person, regardless if I agree with Lord Jamar or not, I just wonder why Royce is the only person that's vocal about like standing up for him.
That's crazy. I wish I had an answer for that. I don't know. I guess that's just his, like he said, that's his friend. He said he do it for all friends. You know, that's his, that his friend, they consider a friend. And I guess that's, I don't know. I wish I really knew the answer to that. That's crazy. Yeah.
Cause he not like, to my not, well, you know, possibly still through the slaughterhouse and all that stuff, still got business connections, but yes, they are genuine friends. But I'm like, you know, M with the D12s individual, it's a lot of people during M Rise that either by doing features with or putting them on the Obi Trices, it's a lot of individuals I could name that Eminem connected with and helped through his rising. Even that they got, you know, went platinum off of just by their association M back in the day when the 50 Cent shit was going on. I'm like, none of these dudes speak up for him. And yeah, I can't speak for the whole city. You know what I mean? Of course, it's asinine. It would be ignorant to speak for all people in any situation. So I always want to say that I'm never speaking about all. But when I'm in my car, or if I pull up on someone, or if I pull up in my grandma's neighborhood, if I go visit this person or whatever the case may be, 99.999% of the time, I don't hear people pulling up or driving by banging Eminem. And that's not to say nothing bad about them, because yes, it's been songs. I'm not checking for Eminem like how back in the day when he first came out, I did fuck with Eminem. You know what I'm saying? The mixtapes and all that shit. You know, around that beef with Ja Rule and all that stuff, I was fucking with all that stuff. As time went by, I kind of moved off of him, but I don't know why. And that's why, like, when I interviewed Dusty McFly or even Smoke Camp, I tried to ask them, like, I wonder why to people outside of the city are they so surprised when they hear people from the city say that people here don't listen to him like that?
Yeah, I really don't know, because I haven't did enough traveling to really get that from them. But yeah, anybody know that's from Detroit, man, or from, you know, pretty much the hoods of Michigan, man, not really banging Eminem. That ain't to disrespect. First off, the way the game changed, I'm not even putting out music like that. And then, you know, he had his run back in, like, you know, 99, 2000, back then, like, when he was the only one, the only megastar we had. So yeah, we was pushing him. Yes, he was a lyricist, but he said a lot of stuff that was questionable, like that you, when you definitely go back now, you'd be like, what the hell is I listening to? But he did have some fire. Let's not get it twisted. He had Dre, you know, producing behind him, and facts, he had a wave going for Detroit. So we was championing him on the strength of, like, this nigga from Detroit. Like, that's
pushing. Finally.
Finally, right. And, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, it was early in the game. But then once everybody else started, you know, everybody else started rapping from the city, like the true, like, representation of the city, like the street, you know, dope dealing and, you know, being fresh and, you know what I'm saying, yada yada yada, getting money in the hood and all that. That's when that started coming in, that kind of, you know, took over the main part of the city, you know what I'm saying, while M still was mainstream getting the bag, you know, the inner city was championing our own people, you know what I'm saying. And that ain't no racist stuff when I say own people, like, just the people you could see up the block, like, you could see Blade on 7 Mile. Oh, look, that's Blade. Like, it was right. Different. We wasn't seeing Eminem. Eminem was doing what he was doing. So that's right. All.
Yeah. You know, so you, and I know that conversation, they're constantly baiting. You know, M is still a megastar. You know what I mean? So they're, to me, it's almost trolling him by 1, 2, 3 years go by, however many ever, how long ever went by, and they're still choosing to talk about that topic. To me, it's just damn near trolling him, because he will fuck around and diss you in the verse, but when you do that, you gain something from that. You know what I mean? That sends traffic your way. That over a million people was, even if you got dissed, over a million people got the opportunity to hear your name or your brand name, which is eventually going to bring you some traffic, and you may be able to win over some fans to fuck with your platform. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's almost a trolling thing, because M don't do no interviews. And if he do an interview, it's in a controlled setting.
Yeah, ain't nobody hate no M, man. M a legend. Like, let's just put it there. M a legend. I still listen to the Eminem show. I still listen to a lot of old M. I even listened to his last album. There's a few songs I like. It's just different. You know what I'm saying? His music is just, he can rap. Yes, he's a lyricist. But, you know, that's just not what I'm sonically choosing to listen to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not quality to me, but that don't mean it's quality to somebody else. And I still want to see him get his bag. And yes, he's Hall of Fame rap, and yes, I want to see him, you know, take care of his family and put on whoever he's gonna put on. I feel like Royce just, like I say, rocking with him, because like he said, they pretty much best friends outside of the rap. And you know, I guess he just want to be that person to stand up for him, I guess, you know what I'm saying? And that's cool that he choosing to do that. And you know, it kind of just is what it is with that.
You think this trend that has started within the past 2 years, what, about 2-3 years maybe, I'll say definitely 2 years. Do you think this trend of, like, this shitting on Eminem is because people feel like he fell off? Or do you think it's more or less more just because he's white?
Like, when you say that, are you talking about, like, the Vlad stuff? Like, or, like,
the just in general stuff,
or just the whole in general?
Like, in general. You know what I mean? The whole game, from the rappers that have thrown shots at him, to Lord Jamar, to like hearing the comments, you know, reading the comments of what people say about him now. Like, before, people, nobody was, and that's the crazy thing to me. I would never, I've been doing videos approaching about 7 years now, and it's like, I just seen a big change in the comment section when M name come up. You know what I'm saying? No, I just be wondering. I'm like, I wonder, is it just because, does it stem from do people just think he's ass and trash like that, or do it stem from him being white and he's filling in one of them spots in the top five or top 10 and people don't want him to be there because he's white?
I guess it's like, yeah, you know, some black people, you know, go obviously say, yeah, he white, he trash, or, you know, he was saying, I guess I put it as, all I can go is, I guess, all personal. Yeah, I guess because he white, and also like the way his music aged, I guess, like, wasn't really good. It kind of aged, like, some people will say spoiled milk, like it didn't go, you know, it didn't become wine, it didn't become timeless. That's, I guess, that's the one way you could look at it. And, you know, I guess people got that bad, like, when people are past their prime, like, trying to down talk them, like, they wasn't rocking with them when they was popping. So it's a lot of that going on too, like, just pure hating, or just to get him. And then it's Eminem. We know Eminem crazy as hell. So I guess, like you said, they want to get him pissed off. Maybe he come back, shave his head or something, or come back with the blonde hair again and get the cussing niggas out. Maybe that's what they want, to get it. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what they want to get out of him. You know what I'm saying? I really don't know. Like, M's still one of the top dudes to me. Like I say, whether I choose to listen to him or not, I respect him. I don't know what's the whole point in messing with him now that he kind of passed his prime. I really don't know.
He passed his prime. He don't pump out a ton of music like how he used to be all on the scene. It's like he periodically come drop his shit, do his tours, and then go back into his shell. And it seemed like since he did that, like, I don't know. I really kind of just feel like it's because of race, but it's like, okay, he may not have been like born and raised in the center of the city, but he's from Detroit. And I just think sometimes people that's from other areas outside of Michigan, especially, and I'm just going to say it, you know what I mean? Especially if they like from the South. I understand if they from the South, you know what I mean? They have a different representation and look at white people. Not all, but they may look at white people different. You know what I'm saying? So I think sometimes people that come from areas that's like densely or highly racist or racism, you know what I'm saying? They tend to like group all people into same. Like an Italian person in Iowa may be totally different and act totally different than an Italian person in New York. You know what I'm saying? Because I even noticed that when I went down to Alabama A&M, HBCU, like, it's a 99.9% black city, and shit, black people from different places were different. We were not all the same. Like, it was, You know what I'm saying? Like, it was some similarities between Detroit niggas and Chicago niggas, but even 4 hours away, it was still a lot of differences. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it just was crazy, even just in person. It was crazy that Detroit motherfuckers down in school clicked mainly with California motherfuckers and mainly the Bay. And it was just weird. Like, yeah, during that time, when I went down to school, it was like 99, 2000, around that time. So just think about how long ago. That's then or 20 years ago. So yeah, the Street Lords and all that stuff was out. Yeah, so you had the Street Lords in the Bay, you know, with E-40 and all that. But it wasn't to like now, 20 years later, you're just seeing the consistency of the cities rocking with each other. It was kind of brand new, fresh then. You know what I mean? And everybody from the Bay that I would meet then wasn't even just up on the Street Lords, but it was like what people were on, their mindsets, their vibes and shit. It was like, oh yeah, just like a cousin to you, kind of. You know what I mean? But still, it was differences. You could have a person that's from Flint that's different than, I don't know. That's why I don't like to group all people together and wrapping it all the way back around. I just think because of definitely the shit that's been going on within politics, everything that's been going on with the United States, I feel like he do get a little bit of that just because he's white.
You know, come on, man. It's the whole agendas and stuff getting put in. You know, when you got that spotlight on you, you know, you can't do nothing. You know, you got to be perfect. And that's, you know, we all got imperfections, man. And we all do that, man. We all be in the car for the most part and been raised a certain way, and Chinese person cut you off, man. Asian nigga didn't cut me. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect. It's just how it go. Like, I hate to say it. We all do it in the dark. So if it comes to the light sometimes, it just is what it is. You got to deal with it. But as far as, like, the whole Royce and Lord Jamar, I agree. I'm more so signed with Royce as far as, you know, him saying the whole situation with how, you know, Lord Jamar, that's kind of his only claim to fame right now. So he's going to, you know, be super hard or controversial with certain topics to get that buzz going. And then you said he got a podcast. So, you know, just to push that traffic over there as well and just be known for that, you know what I'm saying? Just have his name in the game somehow. And then he might really feel that way at the same time. But the last thing I want to become or seem like was pretty much Royce was saying about Lord Jamar, don't be a hater with it. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a hater with it. Just because you got your opinion, you can disagree with something and sound genuine, like, you know, I just don't rock with it. Then you can disagree with something and you being a hater with it. So that's all. Like, that's not the whole thing on it. Mm-hmm.
But once a motherfucker just constantly keeps bringing it up, that's when it goes over into hate damn near. It's like people know your stance about this. But it's like if you not to say it's every episode, but it's like, okay, at least twice a year, 2-3 times a year, this topic comes back up again. It's like, okay, people know your stance. How much you got to kick this dead horse about it? That's when shit can go over into, okay, now you hating on dude. But one key thing that I heard Royce say, and you know, Royce don't drink no more, so I can tell a total difference in his attitude from back in the day when he did. If this was back some years ago before when he was still drinking, he probably would have went the fuck off on Lord Jamar. But I think sometimes people think just because motherfuckers is quote unquote backpack rappers or lyricists that niggas is just weak. And I heard when Royce said that, like, I don't know what type of idea you got about us over here. I feel like he was addressing that. Like, I don't know if you think just because niggas is lyricists and on some backpack shit, like, we just some suckers or something. Like, no, like, I don't personally know Royce, but I know some of the people that he connected to and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, Royce ain't just no hoe ass nigga. Royce got into it with Wu-Tang and them back in the day. Like, Royce ain't no nigga that just, he's a peaceful person, a respectful person, stay in his own lane. But I don't look at Royce as just no pushover. And I think sometimes when you don't get a response from people, if sometimes it make other motherfuckers feel more comfortable constantly saying shit, because they'll take your kindness for a weakness or think, oh, he just a whole ass nigga or something like that. And it's fucked up because it'll put people in a position to have to show somebody. And you don't want to have to do that, especially you grown as hell. You trying to raise kids. You got a career going. You don't want to have to stoop down to that level to have to fuck somebody. Because what'll end up happening if Lord Jamar keeps that same energy and just so happily Royce and him run across each other?
Right. That's true, man. Like, that's what anything with anybody do. Like, we see, you know, kind of encounter this stuff as bloggers. Like, you see how people might try to say all bloggers weak, all people this and that. Like, just because somebody choose to do something, they're a man first or she a woman first. So just don't judge the title with something by being, you know, categorizing everybody into that lane. Like, yeah, that's the stigma of people being lyricists that or being smart that you soft. That's not the case. That's actually the whole point. You want to be able to, everybody should be able to outthink somebody, or, you know, you want to outthink your opponent when you, you know what I'm saying, got situations going on, instead of just being the toughest. Like, you can still be tough as hell, strong as hell, and lose to somebody strategic. So we all know that. It's about your mind. Like, that don't make you weak by being smart. You know what I'm saying? Or exactly. Being able to create words and sentences and put words together. Like, no.
And that's something within our community, like, we got to stop doing. Like, the shit that people should be applauding people or looking, and it comes just with a form of ignorance, you know, it's a form of ignorance. I can't sugarcoat it at all, but like you say, a person can put words and sentences together good. They look down on them people. You should look up to a person like that. Not look up to them like you're like, you know what I'm saying, but like, you should applaud a person. We in within our community, a lot of good things motherfuckers try to use against people to try to make them feel ashamed about it.
Yeah, like, we wrong about that. That's how we was raised. Yeah, we was taught to, and that's because, you know, like I say, the lack of having stuff, the lack of knowledge, and, you know, just being without stuff, we quick to be violent or to try to tear each other down. And don't realize that, you know, you need to stick together, especially when you had this disadvantage for so long. So if you could learn something from somebody, that's a plus. You know what I'm saying? You should want to be around people that's possible. I'm not even gonna say doing better, but might have a, like I say, a stronger suit at something than you are. So that way you can capitalize off of it, because you might have something that you better at. You know what I'm saying? Everybody not the same. So
right,
it's about, you know what I'm saying, empowering each other. But you see how this going, you know, you see how the world is, man. Sad out here.
Exactly. Like, fucking, what, within the first, I think they said within the first week or less than a week, Popeyes made, I think they said between $20 and $23 million off them, like, just within the United States. Possibly more than that, but, and the main marketing, and I ain't gonna lie, like, yeah, I went and got the damn sandwich. I kept seeing it so much. I'm like, man, let me just go see what the fuck.
How was it?
I went back to back 2 days. I was like, damn. Like, and I damn it was probably about to go back and go out there, you know, on a scout. You know what I mean? Like, the third time, because I don't eat out a lot, period. Like, my girl, she cooks at home damn near 7 days a week. So it was just like, so once I did and it was good as hell, that's when it, like, damn, I kind of broke out of my mold of eating at home that one day. So I went, but then I had, you know, mentally had to get back to like, no, let me eat at home. You know, you save a lot of money like that, and it's just healthier that way too. But yeah, the shit good as hell, but I don't have nothing to compare it to, because I only ate Chick-fil-A a couple times, and I don't think I just had their chicken sandwich. But I'm just looking at the little meme that went up talking about how they made $20 to $23 million in just damn near a week or less than a week off these sandwiches. And the main marketing, the main people that was marketing that shit, and people may say, well, you're talking about it now, it's marketing, but like, speaking upon during that era of when it first came out, the people that was marketing this shit for them for free was our community.
Yeah, of course, man. We so gullible and don't realize, we don't think business when we think of something like this. We think it's popular. You know, they play on our ignorance. You know what I'm saying? We are possibly the most ignorant, you know, culture and race, man. You know, black people. It's horrible. You
know? We don't know how to use our smarts in the right direction.
Nope. We wouldn't do this. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
Yeah, we wouldn't do this for our cousin or, you know, somebody else we know that got a business started about pushing it. You got to, you know, you want some, you ain't nobody, and you still be like, hey, man, you got to pay me for that, because it's sad. But you see how they trick with this, doing little memes and, you know, just pushing the whole way. You got to get this because it's the best thing out, and you see everybody running with it. And like you said, they made $23 million. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. That's crazy. And it's not even coming back to our community. You know, the CEO of Popeyes live somewhere in La La Land, and it's gonna stay in their community. You know what I'm saying? And we feeding them. And then I was just so scary, like I say, with the whole wave of this, I was scared that they just put something in the chicken. Man, I ain't even tried it yet. I ain't tried it. I'm scared to try. Like you said, it's good. So, you know, maybe once it slow down, eventually I get there, but it just, it's crazy how gullible we are. Not to say you in that category, bro, because I know you think, but
no,
I,
in general, yeah,
you got the people that rush to go do it. Like it's a, they don't even, it's a fad to go, let me go get this so I can be cool and post it on the internet.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I wasn't doing all that. Like, oh, with the bag and I'm eating it in front of the Popeye sign and all that shit just to fit in with the trend. But I will say, yeah, the marketing, because I kept seeing it so much.
Yeah,
I'm like, man, let me go see what the fuck this shit, you know what, yeah, I mean, like, why are people just rushing to this shit? But to keep it funky, to keep it all the way 100% honest,
yeah,
the 2 days that we, I got a sandwich, and the next day, you know, that day I got a sandwich, I got my girl, and I, you know, my daughter didn't eat that, you know, we got her something else or whatever, but the 2 days that we ate there, I didn't get sick, but my girl threw up the 2 days that she ate that sandwich. I didn't have no problem with it, but she did. I don't know, right, if it's greasy. I don't know. But 2 days, like, she threw up both days that she ate them shits. And, right, and but I didn't have no problem with them. So I don't know if it just affected different people differently, if it's too greasy. Because it is a big-ass piece of meat. Like, most of the time, I don't eat chicken breasts. Because a lot of times, chicken breasts be, like, dry as hell to me. I like dark meat. You know what I mean? It'd be more juicier. But most of the time, sometimes when I eat chicken breast, the shit be like dry as hell. Like, that shit ain't dry at all. But yeah, she threw up them 2 days that we ate that shit. You know what I mean? So, but I cut it off. I'm like, man, fuck that shit. I'm not. But, you know, bringing that shit up, because just even when I seen that, because I posted it on Instagram, but my whole thoughts behind that, it just still all coincided with just when I was talking about the Detroit. And even when I was using the metaphor and directly talking about hometown as far as Detroit versus Detroit, to me, the principles of that conversation applies to Danner every place that's like Detroit around the United States and the world, because it's going on everywhere. And but you have a few exemptions to places that just get it. It's like the Atlantas and places like that, because they have, for I don't know what has happened. I don't know if it became or it's because of what went on in Atlanta and down south way back in the day, and have them down there where they stick together a little bit more. Of course, it's still gonna be beasts. People still get killed and shit like that. But when it comes to, oh, this is a way for people to make hella money, it seems like they know how to fucking stick together.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact, man. I can't, you know, we already talked about that. Like, that's so true, man. Like, if you promote within and stick together, man, anything can be possible, man. You can really push something to the next level. But yeah,
if niggas can make, if places, different places around the city is sold out of the fucking chicken sandwich, but when you do got a place, not even myself, just when you do have a person, that mean down there, every place like the Detroit versus Everybody store, the 313 stores, all these independent fashion makers, all they shit should be sold out around this bitch then.
Yeah, quick and easy, man. But it's not popular. You know what I'm saying? It's not popular. It's not getting pushed. It's not a trend going on. Like, but if we started doing that one by one, yeah, most definitely it could get pushed, man. But yep, that's just how we are, man. We don't, put it like this. We don't want to, if it's a black face on it, we don't want to support it. That's one way I should put it. And then your name on it, like, you can't put your name on nothing. Like,
right.
People will hate so much on it. It's like, you got to leave it as a franchise. Like, if people don't, most people are probably too ignorant to know that Popeye's not owned by a black person. They probably think it is. Like, oh, I'm supporting the brothers. Nope, it's not. So that's just how gullible people is. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, they definitely got played. And look at that lick they just hit. And then with the making it Chick-fil-A, and this is showing you how businesses was working together. Chick-fil-A and Popeye's working together. They weren't really beefing. They sat down, had a business meeting, like, hey, let's do this. Let's get this money. And like I said, you know, Chick-fil-A, if you didn't notice, they more so in the bougie areas.
Right.
Popeye's is in the hood. So they probably was like, and I got the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. That's all I used to get from there before, way before this, you know, whole movement started, when I was going to Chick-fil-A. So they probably was like, you know, a few racist situations happened that went viral in Chick-fil-A too. They don't really want, you know, our kind in there for real.
Right.
So they probably met up at the table like, hey, you know, y'all in the hood, you know, we more so known for our chicken sandwich. Let's do this deal. We help promote, You know what I'm saying? And y'all take these niggas over there, and we gonna keep it how we keep it over here. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being 100. They do stuff like that, and it was a lick. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like cross promoting, and that's just what it is. Like you got it. It's okay to cross promote. That's what people don't get. That's what I'm getting out of the whole thing. Not to push a racial agenda. What I'm saying is cross promote. There's nothing wrong with that. Like stop hating. That's the people problem. Like just because you, I'm gonna use rappers for instance. Just because this dude can rap better than you or do this better than you. If y'all get on the track together, they both gonna listen to y'all for different reasons. You lyrical, okay, but you, guess what? You got the better voice that come over better off the track. You know what I'm saying? It just be, stop hating, man. Like, you at the end of the day. And then you can do, you can't transform. I don't care what these surgeons can do, you know, trying to switch stuff up. But you are you, you know what I'm saying? Your soul is your soul. Stop hating.
Right.
Actually come together, man. You can get so much farther. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand that. When you do that, when they win, we win. And that's just how it goes. It'll never be a fall off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You won't have nothing to complain about. Everybody be getting the bag. It's more than enough money to go around. Stop hating.
Man, that's the realest shit. Like, we will have 80% more. Because, of course, I haven't obtained no $1 million yet, but the way the world's set up now and all this stuff is easier to get to $1 million than like back in the day. You will have way more people that's 100,000-aires or damn near millionaires. Everybody at some point in time, especially when you come up through the struggle, you think about good ideas. And if people just supported these good ideas, we would have way more millionaires or wealthy people within our communities. You know what I'm saying? People wouldn't have to be out here fighting and killing over crumbs and bullshit. If people just, because even if you got 1 million people that spend $1 towards something, that someone just made $1 million. Motherfuckers will go spend that money on a lottery ticket, but you will see someone with a good idea, a good product, or whatever the case may be, and won't support it at all. Just because it comes down to like pocket watching. And not to get off the subject, because I want to wrap, you know, to wrap this up. But to me, like, of course, I'm gonna wait to the guy if he end up coming on here to allow him to say it. It's a guy that I spoke to. He's in the NFL. We may do an interview or whatever the case may be, but I think a lot of the backlash to end up coming with Jay-Z, like people, even when he started Tidal, and I'm repeating myself again, like when he started Tidal, people, his money exceeds him now, so anything that he do will automatically get looked at like, oh, it's just for the money. Yes, he's a businessman, so yes, I'm going to give him enough time to hang himself, but at the end of the day, it's nothing that can happen in the NFL that's going to stop motherfuckers when they leave out of the house if they're going to get shot down or killed by a police officer. The NFL cannot stop that problem. Like, it just can't happen. You know what I mean? Unless those people that run them NFL teams that's a part of the 1%, unless they're going to change their minds and talk to their buddies and this and that. Now, if you can get one black person up in there to sit down at that table and make some shit make sense to them and try to help them break out of that mindset that they in, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, that's not going to stop what's going on. And I hate when the mass majority of people always want to put the responsibility of what we should be doing as a people to try to put it off on one person. Cap kneeled. He did his job to raise awareness, but it's not all Cap responsibility to stop the shit that's going on in the streets. And even if Jay-Z agenda is for a good reason or bad reason, regardless, it's still not his responsibility. You know what I'm saying? It's these racists that got to change their mindset and their way of life. And then it's down for us as well to do the things that we need to do within our community to empower each other so we can get ourselves out of these areas or get these areas better, where then we don't even need these motherfuckers. Like, we can police our own selves in a situation if we move in accord. Of course, shit is still gonna happen. That's just how life is. But I don't know. You know, it's just been a lot going on. I appreciate, you know, if you tap in, you know, if you want to drop your social media and let everybody know where they can reach you at, man.
I think Crispy Chris TV on YouTube, and then Crispy Chris, it's Crispy Chris on Instagram, man.
Word. Well, we definitely appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you listening to this on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and give a 5-star rating and a good review. And I'm gonna go ahead and give some shout outs and all that stuff, but I'm gonna put that at the beginning of the video. I'm editing and put it at the beginning of the video, but I appreciate everybody for tuning in.
All right. Oh, one more thing, Doc. Go ahead. Let me put this. I mean, even if you don't, if you do put it on there or whatever, but man, they got to start championing you, man. Like, really put that spotlight on you. This dude grinding. He his own independent machine. He by himself. He don't got no team behind. It might seem like he got a machine behind him, the way he consistent, but he by himself, man. We got to support Doc. Share the video, man. It don't hurt to share. It don't hurt to, you know what I'm saying, give it a listen. The dude always dropping gems. So definitely the number one podcast in the game, bro. And just in general, the number one dude in the game doing this.
Word, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.